Adaptation comes to mind when reading today's package. Highly educated foreign professionals are looking for new shores after the Trump administration raised the fee on the visa that drew them to America. That shift may benefit India above all, as it strives to keep its best and brightest at home. In Pittsburgh, meanwhile, where Steele was king, academics, investors, and public officials are forging a renaissance of innovation and job creation through artificial intelligence. And across the United States, educators are thwarting classroom absenteeism by tying student passions to career pathways. In Hawaii, that means esports. In Nevada, architecture. When motivations are made new, challenges become opportunities. It's Wednesday, October 22nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. EU energy ministers approved the plan to phase out all Russian energy imports by 2028. The European Union likes to act unanimously, both as a symbol of unity and to prevent divisions. Monday's decision comes over the objections of Hungary and Slovakia, who import Russian oil and are among the most pro-Russia voices in the bloc. The goal is twofold: sanctioning Russia and building European energy independence. France and Belgium are among the countries still importing Russian gas. The North Carolina Senate approved a new set of voting maps yesterday that all but guarantee the state will gain Republican representation in next year's midterm election. It's part of an effort led by the White House to secure as many Republican seats as possible ahead of an election that Democrats hope could return them to power in the U.S. House. Twice as many Republican-led states as Democratic-led ones are scheduled to debate redrawn maps this year. Also, Azerbaijan lifted all restrictions on cargo transit to Armenia. It's a sign that peace between the neighboring countries is no longer on paper, but in practice, said Azerbaijan President Ilham Aliyev. Transit had been banned for nearly four decades during conflict over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. A spokeswoman for the Armenian government praised the development as a step toward institutionalizing the peace established in a U.S.-brokered agreement in August. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. When President Donald Trump hiked the cost of H-1B visas, Indian professionals looked to be the hardest hit. But with the West shunning immigrants, India may also be the beneficiary of the new pool of job seekers. Akash Hassan and Mark Sappenfeld report from Bangalore, India, and Berlin for The Monitor. Individual Israelis and professional organizations are feeling increasingly isolated internationally as the world focuses on severe Palestinian suffering in Gaza. But do boycotts of academic and artistic institutions further the cause of peace? Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. Pittsburgh, once known as a center of the steel industry, now wants to be a hub for the kind of artificial intelligence that makes a difference in people's daily lives. What happens here could produce innovations that affect the economy on a broader scale. Caitlin Babcock reports from Pittsburgh for The Monitor. As schools combat chronic absenteeism, one solution gaining traction is offering elective courses that are too interesting to skip. The result is a better attitude toward school and toward the rest of the subjects in it. Jackie Valley reports from Las Vegas for The Monitor. The immersive new 1929 benefits from journalist Andrew Ross Sorkin's meticulous archival research and his access to documents never before available, including the board notes from the New York Federal Reserve. Contributor Barbara Spindle writes for The Monitor. Now commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a drum roll for Japan's first female leader. Despite being Asia's oldest continuous democracy, Japan has been far behind the region's other countries in electing a woman leader. That changed Tuesday when Takaichi Sanai, a conservative in Japan's long-dominant party, became the nation's first female prime minister. Despite the ceiling-busting triumph, however, this former drummer in a heavy metal band got off on the wrong foot with a comment that helps explain why so few Japanese women enter politics or buck a cultural norm that sees women primarily as caregivers. In a speech, Ms. Takaichi asked everyone to work like a horse and then added, "I myself will cast aside the idea of work-life balance. I'll work, 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 and work." While perseverance is a highly admired trait in Japan and helped her in becoming head of the world's fourth largest economy, public reaction forced her to clarify that she was speaking only about members of the Liberal Democratic Party like herself. If anything, the new prime minister wants to assist homemakers, who are mainly women, and make it easier for them to balance home life and work. She pledges to designate homemaking services as an official occupation worthy of tax deductions. In addition, she wants to expand support for women's health so that men can properly understand when women are struggling, whether at school or in the workplace. In a country with a weak feminist movement, Japan has made only sporadic advances for women to enter politics since World War II. Leaders who have won women's votes often found success by appealing to the everyday interest of women. A good example is the three-term governor of Tokyo, Koike Yuriko, who also served as Japan's first female minister of defense. Her family-friendly policies, such as free daycare for preschool children, helped elevate the number of women in the city's assembly to 41 out of 127 in a June election. That is an unusually high proportion in any of Japan's political bodies. When women take part in politics, Irie Nobuko, a Tokyo Metropolitan Assembly member, told Kyoto News, real-life concerns such as childcare, nursing, and education are brought to the forefront. A truly inclusive society must consider both male and female perspectives. For her part, Tokyo's governor, Koike, entered politics simply because of my ideas and principles, she wrote in a 2010 article for Harvard International Review. "We deal not only with women's issues, but also with defense and economics, all the topics that concern the administration of the nation, just like any male member of parliament." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we're all capable of yielding to God's healing love rather than the pull of hate or disgust. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.